Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me? No? Is that better this way? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vins à Lyon. Thank you for being here. Today we're going to have lots of conferences, very interesting conferences. But this morning, more particularly, what we will do is we'll have two exceptional keynotes, starting with the keynote from Deborah Anderson, CIO of Nobel. First, I'd like to introduce you to the director of the INSA Lyon, Mr. Stork. I'd like to applause him.
So good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I'm only a chemical engineer, so I don't know anything about computers. No, it's a joke. So first, it's a great pleasure for us, for the direction of INSA, to welcome you at INSA. Let me say a few words about these institutions. INSA de Lyon is today a network of five similar institutes located. The first one was created in Lyon, then in Toulouse, Rennes, Rouen, and 2 years ago, the last one was created in Strasbourg. It's the first engineering network in France. I would not like to be too long for this presentation, but only to say you a few quantitative words about the number of students. We are today 5,000 students at INSA de Lyon. And we have a very strong international policies. That's probably the reason why we welcome this conference. Today, 27% of our students are not French students. This means more than 1,000 people, which gives the institution a very important approach of interculturality. We deliver each year 1,300 degrees. 130 among them are PhD degrees, and 900 engineering degrees. The five main fields of our school, which is located in the engineering field, are materials, science and engineering, mechanics, energy and environment, health and biology, and the last sector is precisely information and communication technology and science, which is really the most important one, because usually I say that it represents 40% of the activities of INSA. So this is a rapid presentation of of our institution. I believe, to say a few words about your conference, I believe personally, as a chemical engineer, that there is no dogmatic opposition today between open source and proprietary software. As in every professional structure, our aim is only to offer the best services to our community of professors, of researchers, of students, of PhD students, and also on employees. But I now firmly believe that open source software offer a credible and alternative to proprietary software. I must say that personally, I'm not a user of open office suite. But the IT manager of my school, Mr. Condelin, will probably quickly convince me to adopt personally these products, as he convinced me a few years ago to use open source solutions for some of the main information system projects of the school, like our intranet planet INSA, based upon products of the ESUP consortium, the French declination of the American New Portal project. You probably know today the fact that over 400,000 computer workstations in the French central administration. You know that France is very central administration is very, very strong in France. Will be using the Open Office Suite, France's newly formed General Directorate for the Modernization of the State. This is an important ambition. Is in operation since January 2006 and is responsible, the government, for this action. This massive migration towards an open document format, ODF, will probably be soon followed by similar events in other European countries. I notice also that ODF was adopted as an ISO international standard in May 2006. And this will probably be a key for the success of Open Office in the future. Finally, I would like to wish you a good conference and say maybe a few words on about Lyon, the city, and the region Rhône-Alpes. Very rapidly, Lyon and its suburb is 1.2 million inhabitants. Metropolitan area, in the heart of France's second most important region after Paris. Some specificity which are very important for you after your meeting, it's the oldest wine region in France, with two rivers, Rhône and Saône, and we usually say three rivers, the third one being wine, the Beaujolais. So, I wish you a nice opportunity to test this. There are a lot of historical monuments classed as World Heritage Site by UNESCO. And there are some very famous specificity, lights, 8th of September, gastronomy, you maybe know Paul Bocuse, you will have maybe the opportunity to test this product. It's a capital of silk and the city of fashion. And also the cinema, the Lumière Brothers invented cinema in Lyon. So I wish you a very nice and fruitful meeting, and thank you very much for having chosen Inside of Lyon for this conference. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you, Mr. Short, for your speech. Thank you for these once again. You know, Mr. Stork, you were mentioning the 400,000 desktops that are to be migrated to an open source, a fully open source desktop in France. Well, you see, this number is quite impressive, but just imagine that for a company like Nouvel, when they decided to acquire SUSE Linux, and that when they basically chose to go the open source way, they, as they put it, they had to eat their own dog's food. And that's precisely what we will be discussing now. I would like to call Mrs. Deborah Anderson, CIO of Nouvel. She will tell you about Nouvel's migration towards openoffice.org. Deborah Anderson.
To go.
That makes sense for your business. From the desktop to the data center. Introducing SUSE Linux Enterprise 10, the best engineered, lowest cost, and most interoperable platform for mission-critical computing. For when performance, reliability, security, and support matter most. Innovation has reached new heights. With SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, complete with Xen virtualization, improved utilization and consolidation are only the beginning. Designed to handle mission-critical workloads, it is open, scalable, reliable, and secure.
Good morning. I wanted to start by asking how many here are actual contributors to the opensource.org community? Do you know that you rock? You're fantastic. Thank you for all the work that you've done so far. And my pleasure today to be here and talk to you about Novell's migration and adoption of open source. The speaker this morning reminded me, I know a few chemical engineers who could blow up quite a few computers. I don't eat dog food, I do drink champagne, and that's exactly what we did at Novell. I wanted to start with a brief summary of what the company is now. We've changed quite a bit over the past 6-7 years. Novell is a provider of infrastructure software and services, and we focus on Linux and open source, identity-driven solutions, resource management, and services that go with those, so training, consulting, and support for those who are adopting both open source products as well as Novell products. We do participate quite a bit in the open source community. We're a key contributor to all the projects you see here and a leading contributor to those that are in green. We have a strong commitment to the open source community and to the concept of open source software and how it is changing the industry. And personally, I'm benefiting from, and as I tell our story, hopefully you'll understand why. We're the number two contributor to the OpenOffice community and as a corporation. And I was asked last night why that is. If you think about a enterprise-ready desktop, the productivity suite is a core component of making that work at any enterprise. And clearly what you're doing and where you're going is key to further open source adoption across platforms and against our key competitors, not to be mentioned this morning. Some of our contributions really with version 2, and I want to thank you for version 2. I'll talk about our migration. We actually started with version 1. And as we went to version 2, from the Novell side, part of what we do as an IT organization is actually be the first adopter of both open source products that we contribute to, but also any product that we are going to bring to market. We do that in my organization because we learn. We provide that feedback back to the product development organization. And in the case of the version 1 of OpenOffice, as we adopted internally, clearly our team who's here today and will be here for the rest of the conference received a lot of feedback from us in terms of what we were experiencing, what was working and what was not working. And this is a list of a few of the things that we made a lot of noise about. To our team, I know many of you contributed, though, to success on adding this functionality with the last version, and again, I thank you. I'll give you a minute to read that. Many say, why open source? I can tell you 3 years ago, as I interacted with peers in the industry, I would actually meet people who would say, over my dead body, there's no way I'm bringing open source into my enterprise, into my data center. I can tell you now that that is not the case. CIOs are loath to be held captive by any vendor. And we see the opportunity, and I'll talk about how that's changed our business at the end of my presentation. So why did I move to open source? Very simply, it makes business sense. When I first joined Novell, and let me explain, I've spent most of my career in a non-technical company. When I first came to Novell, the biggest difference between being in IT from the old company to being in IT at Novell was clearly the we practice what we preach part of the job. But also, you know, I used to look at what we did, and I thought that a lot of what we developed was, you know, people went to bed the night before, they woke up, had a great dream about some technical thing that they could build, and they came in the next day and started working on it. As an IT CIO, technology is great. It is only great if it brings business value and I can understand how to leverage it within my corporation. And so for me, open source makes wonderful sense. I got immediate leverage. So it was a good investment. It was very secure. And you know, I had a lot of control over what I could do in my environment. And then lastly, as I mentioned, it's awfully important that somebody take the first journey in a corporation. And we are very committed to do that as a core part of the goals of my organization. And so, and I can tell you they love it. They love to be the first to kick the tires on what you come up with. And so it was our pleasure to lead the charge and learn as we went. And I'll tell you, I call it a journey because, you know, even as we started, I created some goals about what we were going to accomplish. But little did I know that I modify those goals as we learn along the way. Thus is experience and accounts for a lot. But the other reason we do that is to firm up the process so we can actually help other organizations adopt as well following. So our story really started in 2004, and going to take you through that journey now. We started with a focus on and saw the first opportunity being adoption of OpenOffice.org as our standard productivity tool. My charge as CIO was to go as fast as possible, but with the least disruption. Obviously, revenue is important. I cannot disrupt the internals of the company to the point that we can't do what we need to for success. We chose this approach to install OpenOffice on the existing operating systems within the company. What it allowed us to do was really a couple of key things. One, our leadership team was very committed and still is to open source. They were able to do a call to action at my request, asking every individual within the company to participate in the open source transition. And so being able to adopt OpenOffice on the existing operating systems allowed me to make transition involve every person in the company in that journey, get there very quickly, and do it in a very in least disruptive way possible. It was a win-win all the way around, and the true test for us was really new documents got created in OpenOffice, and all internal collaboration from the point in time that we set going forward was done with OpenOffice. Our results, as you can see, were quite impressive, I believe, and again, this in 2004 was on version 1. 100% of the company has the tool. 87% use it as their only productivity tool on a daily basis. There is a gap there, and I'm sure many of you who are receiving feedback from enterprises that are in adoption understand that gap. And in fact, version 2 functionality was critical in helping me close that gap on the 87%. So our adoption's even higher on version 2 of OpenOffice. You know, at the time, the impediments were collaboration, technical issues. So, you know, a 32K limit on a financial table does not work for my finance group, who has become used to using the other tool, and actually have made that a business application unto itself, which, by the way, I never asked them to do. They just saw an opportunity and they went for it. You know, quite a win for us. It really did generate, not just in the field organizations, but across the whole company, interest and eye-opener in terms of what open source software could provide us and what opportunities we had going forward. So lessons learned in our journey, and for any of those of you who are working with other organizations in the adoption, it's critical to get the executive buy-in. I had that at Novell, but believe me, as we went through our transition, that was really my key contribution, was not technical. And I say to my group, if they want me to write code, they're in big trouble. But my contribution was really to make sure that the executive level stayed engaged in what they needed and what I needed from a charge, a call to action for success in the adoption. Build momentum. I recommend, and I'm sure you do this, that you start with the technical part of your organization. We actually saw advocates from every business organization. You know, even finance has people that are very technically capable and want to play with the latest and greatest technologies. And so we actually use those advocates as an extension of our team as we put together the what we called our open desktop project. You know, our power users clearly felt the difference in the tool, and we actually accommodated that. It was not a hard fist fight. I don't think that's productive. Really, it will speak for itself based on functionality. And people use, I can't tell you the amount of noise I got about it'll take too long to learn. We certainly put together formal training classes. I can tell you we also benefited from a lot of material that's already available out there. We actually consolidated that onto an internal portal at the company, and it was our second, and it still is, our second most frequently hit website. And it's all about open source adoption, so not just open office, but the rest of what we're doing internally. But to just speak about the ease of adoption, for my own IT group, I stood in front of them in a quarterly town hall meeting and gave a call to action that 40 years later, as an organization, we would only collaborate using OpenOffice. At the time, I also gave them a charge to have at least one fully working Linux machine in their possession. Most of my staff has multiple machines they work with. Be careful what you ask for. Immediately after that meeting, I got on a plane, started traveling, had not downloaded OpenOffice, and immediately started getting documents from my own team, which I could not read. So it speaks to the ease of transition. Even within the company and across the whole company, we did the migration in, I believe at the time, it was only 3 months from the start to finish. That included our IT pilot period, where we were actually trying to get our arms around functionality differences between old and new. It went very well. The second part of our desktop migration actually started almost concurrent with this from within my own organization, but across the company really started in 2005. Once we had OpenOffice, we wanted to go the next step and change up the operating systems on the company machines. Again, we did this internally in my own organization. That was in that same 4 days. What we had in 2005, though, was Novell's first enterprise-ready version of the Linux desktop. And so again, we piloted that within my own organization. We moved more slowly. For all of you, I'm sure you're aware, but from my standpoint as a CIO, the things I get the most noise about ever and always have to do with email and people's machines, how they look, how they feel, how they function. People are very passionate about their desktops and their laptops. So we went more slowly with the operating system adoption, although again, as aggressively as I could make it happen. And as you can see here, the numbers were quite impressive again. We achieved 87% of the company having a Linux desktop. 54% are Linux only. And this was with our Novell Linux desktop version 9. As we look at what my success criteria was there, and again, I have a favorite saying that I use with my group called, I read my CIO crystal ball to come up with some of these targets. At the time, I created a target that said we wanted 50% of the company to be on Linux. We allowed a transitional desktop environment. Again, what we wanted to do was get there as aggressively as possible, but convince the individual users that Linux was ready to go. And the transitional desktop environment allowed us to make that move in the least disruptive way possible, but the most aggressive way possible. Again, results were quite impressive. We exceeded the 50%. I was very happy with that. Impediments at that time for further adoption are really the business applications. So we had the benefit of having a strategy that for us goes back 7 or 8 years of making business applications available via our corporate intranet. So light desktop is the mantra at Novell. I certainly still meet CIOs who have what I call heavy desktops, lots of fat clients. In that case, every one of those clients, the IT department would have to test and make sure that it worked full feature and function on a Linux operating system. So we benefited from our strategy. It allowed us to get there faster. Certainly we did learn along the way and have identified 3 or 4 options for running heavy client-centric applications on a Linux desktop. So that was one impediment. And then at the time, there were still quite a few features missing in the first version of the Enterprise desktop. So I was speaking to somebody this morning. The first time I tried to disable the wireless, and I'm on the phone with one of my individuals, and they told me to go to the command line and start entering. I said, I will do this, but you've got to fix this before I'm going anywhere else in the company with this desktop. We cannot roll back to, and I know it works fine for you, but most of my customers just want to fire the thing up and have features and functions that they're traditionally used to having. So in that case, in some cases, my IT group built a few of these gadgets, and we fed that code back to our product development organization to bundle into Novell's Linux desktop. But those were, kind of the issues we ran into at the time. Key learnings from that migration were that, when we started, I can tell you, we still could not find drivers for all the various machines we ran internal to the company. I can tell you that by the end of 2005, that had completely changed. Migration tools, we actually had to figure out what the process was for a base customer within the company to actually take their Microsoft machine and move that data and functionality and favorites list, et cetera, over to a Linux machine. We developed processes for that. We called it Migration Station. It was a sub 1 hour conversion of an old OS to a Linux OS. I'll challenge you to take the old OS and even go to the new OS in sub 1 hour. Very happy with those results, and again, have documented those as a company to ease the transition for others who want to make the migration. Application and services, we certainly had and learned about some things that we needed to stabilize and make easier to use on a Linux desktop. And again, we focused on building that functionality, then for the future, bundling that in to what is we have this year, SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop 10. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we move on. Again, it was very critical to get early adopters going. We did not do this in what I call a traditional IT project approach, where we figure it all out and then we just roll with it. In this case, we said to the company, we don't know what we don't know. Come join us, please work with us. We actually had a virtual team that went far beyond my organization. And it was very interesting to watch the collaboration that happened every single day in terms of what worked and what didn't work. And again, people use training, and, you know, it's the fear factor thing. So don't change my desktop was always the first thing I heard. It'll take me too long to get used to a new desktop. In fact, we focused on just teaching them not Linux, but just how to maneuver through the desktop from a GUI standpoint. And actually, they found that they didn't require training. So again, the fear factor is pervasive. It was not real. The last step of our journey, and we're actually on this right now, based on our experiences of the OpenOrg version 1 adoption and the first enterprise release from Novell of the Linux desktop, we are currently in the process of adopting SLED 10, SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop 10, and I'll show you a little bit about that. I do encourage you, as you go through the conference, to stop at the booth, take a look at it. Clearly, as I'm meeting with CIOs, who by the way, again, now don't say what's open source, and I'm afraid, but I do encourage them, if they don't think they're ready for the desktop migration, to get some of their IT people looking at it, because many find that already, for leverage against their vendor community, they can make adoption in a place appropriate for their business and learn along the way. So we were smarter this time. Our adoption of OpenOffice 2.0 was really a couple of emails, news briefs from the company, and then we set a date, and I think, you know, soup to nuts, if we allowed them 3 weeks to make the transition, that was a long time. So we set a very particular date to adopt the new format, and I heard really nothing about it after that. So you did a great job, and again, I thank all of you for the ease of that transition. So talking about SLED 10, really we learned a lot with our first adoption, and focused major areas of investment with the new desktop product on the tools that were more sophisticated. We made deployment and migration easier, new hardware support, improved interoperability, can't say that word. And, you know, I mentioned this last night to a few people, but CIOs don't like to think a lot about multimedia support. However, for the person who owns that machine or views they own that machine, it's incredibly important. So, you know, the new audio and video support, iPod, you know, those things are just passionate for my customers. And it has made people much more excited to move to a Linux machine. So again, we took a lot of the learnings from within our own internal adoption, fed those back to our product development organization, and SLED 10 was launched in July. We already have close to 2,000 of my internal customers have adopted it as their core and only desktop. To put that in perspective, we have about 4,700 employees right now. So I'm going to hit the 50% mark a whole lot faster than I did back in 2005. And we're going to keep going as fast and furiously as we can. Again, key focus. Technology is great, but the real benefit I see is SLED 10 is this list of desktop applications that, again, hit the softer side from my standpoint of business applications, but those that are passionately owned by the individual running the machine. So just a couple of quick views here of SLED 10. Search capabilities, not just core to the machine, but in addition, there's Beagle Search, which I'll tell you has saved me multiple times already as I'm running SLED. Beagle will return not just documents that match whatever my criteria is, but conversations, websites, you name it, it will return it. It has found things for me I'd forgotten I had on my desktop. OpenOffice 2.0, again, you guys rock. Great tool, and although we certainly still feed issues and next level of development items to Michael and team, frankly, the level of our feedback has been a lot lower than first version. Desktop effects, incredibly important, and the graphics capability in SLED 10 is unbelievable. And really has challenged me to think about doing the work that I've traditionally done with my machine in a very different way. My closing comments as CIO, along the lines of the opener this morning, open source is not a fad. These are actual statistics. So, SourceForge.net gets 23 million visitors a month. 23% of those are IT management. 8% of those are CIOs. I can say for myself, I've been out there looking at what alternatives I have other than proprietary vendor software to solve and provide and enable functionality that's needed within the company. The number of hits continues to grow. The interest continues to grow. This group better than most that I speak to knows how many active projects there are out there, and that number just continues to grow. Again, I use this slide because I find a lot of my peers aren't nearly as far along with the concept of open source. And what I say to them is, you have to kick the tires. If you don't kick the tires, you will be afraid of it forever. You have to figure out how it's different, but it does give you leverage, it gives you flexibility. I myself have saved millions of dollars in my IT budget by adopting open source, and it gives me flexibility. I'll tell you, the biggest thing it gives me, which, there are certain vendors I yell at every year, and that's a literal yell, and I don't like to yell. Our conversations have been very, very different over the last 2 years, as I have an opportunity with almost every one of them to have I can go this direction with an open source alternative, or I can stay with you, what's it worth to you? That leverage alone as a leader of a technology organization is invaluable, and has changed the way we do business forever, And I see that not changing. It's been fun. I'm sure it's fun for you to contribute to the community. It has been a great joy for me to be on what I call the early cusp of changing how the IT business will be going forward. A very different world, and I want to thank you for everything you've done to make that happen. My own group uses over 19 different open source tools, and this is just a brief slide showing a few of those. And I want to thank you for your time. I will be here for the remainder of the conference, and happy to answer questions or be available for discussions at any of the breaks sessions going forward. Thank you very much.